Before we get started, thanks for checking out this episode of Last 30. I'm the host, Chris Randall. Make sure you go subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at PodcastDope. And if you want to leave some feedback or send a comment, go to reallydopepodcast.com/contact. Here we go. So losses, I like to talk about losses first. That way we can end on some
wins. Yeah, end up positive.
So losses, I'll say losses and things that I'm still working on. My kids are getting older. So for a while now, I probably talked about it on the last episode too. I've been trying to figure out what to do since they're getting older. Like, our relationship is shifting a little bit, you know? So what are we going to do? I'll tell you an L that I got to change. After work, going to pick Kamika up and then getting home and then everybody retreating to their separate corners.
Yes.
Because we haven't seen each other all day. Yeah. Everybody's been somewhere different.
Yeah.
And then we see each other for the car ride, or depending on how many times or how long we stay at Kamika's job.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere from 15 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah.
But a lot of times Caleb's working on homework, Colin's working on some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Kamika's doing whatever, and I'm doing whatever. And then we got the car ride home.
Yeah.
And then when we get home, it's time to get ready for dinner and bed, and then the next day.
Right.
So that's not even a whole lot of time, but they're taking showers, they're making lunches, and because we've been working and I haven't done a whole lot, I'll probably just be sitting or lying down telling them what to do.
Yeah.
Make sure you do this. Did you do this? Did you do this?
Yeah, you're micromanaging and not having quality time. I think that's difficult during the week, though. Like, as a single mom, understanding that dynamic, it's really hard having, like, really personable conversations and quality time during the week because so much is going on. And then at the end of the day, everybody just needs a break to themselves before they go to sleep.
Yeah,
you know? That's something I had to notice even with my kids, especially since our apartment is so small and they have shared space and they're age different.
Yeah,
you know, they each carve their own space and they respect each other's time, which is amazing considering there's like a 7-6 year age gap. And she can be super aggy to him. Actually, he's more aggy to her. She's like, Xander, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
But we all kind of go in our respective corners and you know, kind of detox at the end of the day.
But
that's probably an L.
Because it's
the weekend time.
That's the time. It's like, okay, now we can, you know, even if we're not necessarily doing something, just we're being in the same room, just being around, that type of thing. So I got to figure out how to navigate that and what to do as far as, you know, not having a lot of time during the week.
Yeah.
But then having some sort of quality something.
Yeah,
I
got to
figure out something.
I'm struggling through that too. That's one of my L's. Because I do so much, you know, like working full time, trying to do my business, and then I'm doing like personal projects and things like that. I'm always on my computer, and my kids will come in and talk to me. We'll talk, and I listen. I just let them talk half the time. I don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
But I let them know, like, I make them feel like they're being heard, and I ask questions even though I still don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
You know, as parents, we learn how to, like, fake it.
Callum is always like, Daddy. So today, and he's learning Well, he's practicing communicating.
Yeah.
You know, to him, he's just talking.
Right.
But I hear it and think about it as him practicing communicating.
Yes.
So I just let him talk.
Yes.
And I might say, you know, don't say that word, say this word or whatever. But he's like, Daddy, and so she, and kids edit while they're talking.
Yes.
So for me to listen... to be like, okay, you're editing, so I whatever you just said, I need to unhear it.
Unhear that.
And then hear what you're saying, and then it gets really convoluted in my head. So by the end of it, it's me just let him finish and then say okay at the end.
Right.
Or that's cool.
That's
or,
so cool.
Wow.
Really?
All right. What are you talking about, bro?
But I gotta tell you, with Xander. So when Xander was Cal's age,
okay.
Xander was like that too. And he's getting better at 15. His storytelling is very convoluted. And I would do all of those things. Yeah. Really, Xan? Wow. Oh, cool. And you know what he told me one day?
What?
He said, Mom, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're not really listening to me. What did I just say? I was like, do you know what you just said? He was like, no.
He said, well, don't expect me to know either.
Yes. Cal reminds me so much of Xander because Cal is a storyteller. But I kind of went off on a tangent. I said all of that to say my L is spending that time with them as well.
Okay, boom. So that was that L. I think I had more wins than losses.
That's awesome.
This month. I think it's good. So before, I don't want to talk anymore. So you, what's been going home with you for these last 30, and what are some other, can you think of any other L's? Like what's been happening? What don't I know?
Let me think about my L's for a minute, because it's really weird how I've been viewing my L's lately.
Okay.
I don't view like my losses and my failures as losses or failures. I kind of view them as a learning experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to determine what an L is. Like,
okay.
You know, with my job, I thought I was going to love this new job that I got this summer. And I don't, I hate it.
Wow.
So I think that's an L. But as your father-in-law always says, every time something happens to you, something else happens. So... I'm like, oh, I hate this job. Oh my gosh. Then bam, like I had an interview for a studio management position for photography. I interviewed, the woman was like, you're amazing. Mm. I was like, I know, thank you. Like we were in there talking, she was like, I love your purple hair. I was like, oh, I'm so glad, because I was gonna put a wig on.
Yeah.
Like, we were just talking so candidly.
Yeah.
Because you know, photographers, artists, that's kind of how we are. And she's like, no, I love it. It would be so perfect. And you know, she was like, you're at the top of my short list, but I'm not the hiring manager, the regional manager is.
Mm.
And so, yeah, the regional manager called me on my way to Atlanta. I was driving to the airport to pick, you know, the instructors up for the conference that I just went to.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me and was like, I know it's Sunday, I'm sorry, but are you still interested in the position? I want to offer you the position. I was like, okay, what position? Because she told me there were quite a few that I was interviewing for.
How you interview for one?
Well, because the way the photography studio is set up, mm-hmm. I could have either been a studio manager or a floating full-time.
Okay.
Between all of the stores in North Dallas, or in North Texas.
Okay.
I guess in the Dallas Metroplex, I should say. And she was like, oh, well, the studio manager position. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
The L with that. So this is on a Sunday. She's like, I'm going to call you back tomorrow and officially send you the offer letter. Okay. Now, mind you, when did I go to Atlanta? I went to Atlanta mid-September.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Monday comes around and I told her, I was like, well, you know, I told you I'm on my way to a photography conference. I may be busy, but if I miss your call, I'll call you right back. You have my email. She's like, oh yeah, that's perfect. I understand. Monday rolled around. I was like, oh, she didn't call me. I was like, that's cool because I'm busy anyway. Maybe she'll call me later in the week by the time I get back. Friday rolls around. I was like, this hell ain't call me. And so I called her and she was like, oh, Miss Lee, I'm so sorry. You know, I've been really busy. I'm traveling right now, but I'll get back to you. This was actually Thursday because I came back to Alabama, or Wednesday, one of those days. I was like, okay, cool. She never called me back. So the following week, I called her. She didn't answer. Then Friday rolled around. I sent her a text message, called her. She didn't answer. Sent her a text message. She didn't answer.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, no. She forgot about me. Oh. I'm like, this is another L. Finally got her back. And she was like, I'm sorry. I'm just so busy. I'm still traveling. I manage. And I knew she managed a lot of stores. Like the... I understood that she managed a large amount of, like, the entire region. And now, I mean, that's what a regional manager is, but, like, literally, they have no district managers. She does it all.
Yeah.
Over 40 stores that she manages. Wow. So I'm sitting here thinking, maybe she's just a little unorganized. Like, I know she has a lot going on. She was like, 40 stores. I was like, oh, I got you. Okay. I'm just going to sit over here.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
So
that's one of my wins, and it just allows me to do what I love while, you know, working on my business, because it's all the same.
Yeah. So you have two jobs.
I haven't started this one yet because she hasn't sent me the official offer letter.
Got
yet.
You.
And then I'll be quitting this other job because deuces. It's really cool though. So, but I still don't see that job as an L because, you know, I'm teaching this year. Like, we talked about this before. I really wanted to get into educating other photographers about different things. Like, I just happened to come into teaching about diversity and inclusion.
Okay.
Because I'm always talking about diversity and inclusion.
You do. You talk
about it. Because I'm always talking about black folks.
Brown people.
Yep. Yeah. Brown people. Not even just black people. You're right. Brown people. And so white people were like, oh my gosh, you know more about brown people than I do. Teach me about you guys.
Wait, lady, what you talking about?
I mean, you're not brown, so I wouldn't expect you to know more about brown people than me. That's not what you go to school for. But, you know, like, diversity and inclusion kind of fell in my lap. And then, because I'm a boudoir photographer, teaching about that kind of fell in my lap. And because I've always been a salesperson my entire career of working since I was 14, now teaching sales has fallen into my lap.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about how that all relates to this most recent job that I'm in is that their training, it was a sales position, and their training was 3 weeks long. It was like intense classroom training on sales, on processes, all of these things that I already knew, but didn't quite know how to explain. And so I was like, wow, like, I can explain what I do now, you know, and not even take how they explain it, but I can put it in my own words.
Yeah.
And I learned so many different concepts and how to structure them in that class that are in that training that I was able to pull that and bring it into my own business. And I even talked to the trainer about it, and he was like, if you have any questions, let me know. Like, I'll help you with any of these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, just that opened my eyes to something completely new, and it allowed me to kind of fall into these teaching positions more fluidly.
Yeah.
And since then, I've picked up, I signed a contract to teach at a conference in New Orleans next year. I signed a contract to teach a 3-week online course that's gonna run every 3 months.
Oh, wow.
I'm teaching in a workshop this November, December, and I'm over a scholarship for photographers with an online community. Like, I'm doing so many things now that I didn't even expect to be doing, but this, I'm talking about wins. Those are wins. But my losses, I don't view my losses because they prepared me for that.
Yeah, definitely.
They gave me like a stepping stone to, I don't even want to say a stepping stone. They gave me direction on how to navigate the wins.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. Like, I used to really live in my losses.
Yeah.
You know? And I really, like, my professional losses, and I don't anymore. Even my personal losses in my personal life, like interacting with my kids.
Yeah.
I used to be a yeller and a fusser. I don't yell and fuss anymore. I just don't. I don't have the energy to. I don't care to. I give them that look.
Yeah.
I get my finger, come here, sit down. We talk it out. One of them ends up crying.
I ain't even hit you. What are you crying for?
I know. But Xander doesn't cry anymore. He just gives me that look like he wants to cry.
Yeah.
Aiden cries. And we talk it out. And they, for the most part, don't make the same mistakes twice. But like I tell them, your kids, like, make your mistakes. I was like, I'm not gonna yell at you, and I'm not going to like beat you for these mistakes, because you're at the age where you're supposed to be, like, you're learning. Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. That's what I say for everything. So I'm like, you don't know what you don't know. I'm gonna check my emotions, mm-hmm. and then let you navigate, like, talk you through this, and we're gonna navigate through what you did wrong. It's like, shit, they make mistakes like every other day.
Right. We gotta have this conversation again.
I can't deal with this. Like, how did you even do this? Like, I didn't even think about this as a child. Like, I don't even know how to handle this right now. You go in your room and sit down and let me think about how I'm gonna deal with this.
Yo, it is so. Because again, like I said before about my kids, I've been really like, do I need to do something different? Like, what do I need to do as far as rearing them yeah. and all of that? And the first thing I do, I go, okay, calm down.
Yes. That's what I had to do. Calm down. Because I'm so high strung.
Calm down.
Yes.
And then I try to think about whatever it is that I'm upset or whatever the issue is from the big picture.
Yes.
Is this, should I be upset about yes. this? And if I shouldn't be, then stop being upset about it yeah. and move on.
Yeah.
If you should be, because you, like, if does this situation require you to, you know, get in and talk about it and requires them to be in trouble and all this kind of stuff? Because that's a thing that you're going to
yes,
go through.
Exactly.
Do we need to go through this behavioral process? You know, if we don't, okay, cool. Just, I don't even care, whatever. Go over there and finish yep. your work. Or do we need to go through this process? And if we do need to go through this process, what needs to be a part of this process?
Yes.
Like, what's the lesson, or what do you want them to know
exactly.
or learn?
Exactly. And what's the pain that you need them to feel?
Right.
To associate not doing that shit
right.
anymore.
And yeah, and is it even that, or is it like, is it lesson time, or is it punishment time?
Right.
Or punishment time. Yeah. Now, here's the thing with punishment. What's been on my mind lately is, but first of all, let me say, by no means, children and adults ain't the same.
No, not at all.
So
the way their minds work, I'm just like, you little person, get out of my face. I can't deal with you right now. Because you don't even understand
right.
what you're doing.
Right. So some of this is because there's a reason adults don't go through this. But then, this is what I'm saying. I think about adults. I'm thinking about when adults make mistakes, adults don't have necessarily a punishment process.
Right.
So why
the consequences
is right.
are a punishment.
Why is that? Because adults deal with the consequences.
Right.
If I do something, if I speed, I get a ticket. Nobody lectures me about driving fast
yes.
or why I shouldn't or why it's dangerous and da 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 da. But the reason that is because I'm an adult. I already know why it's dangerous or not good if you
yes.
drive fast, because you can, it's not safe, or you can get a ticket. Whichever one of those motivates you,
yep.
just don't do it. Now, when you're a kid, you don't necessarily know why
exactly.
you should not be doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm talking to you for the next 20 minutes.
Yes.
Or that's why my voice is raised right now.
Exactly.
Or that's why I'm upset.
Yes.
So I'm going through all of this, like, and then after the fact, sometimes I'm like, ah. Did I make that a punishment situation that should have been
a lesson
or a consequence?
Yeah.
Or is that a this and it should it have been that or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, so that's also a part of my L's a little bit. Like, sometimes I will go, especially if I've had to talk to you about this several times.
Ah, yes.
It's rare with
my kids, but yes.
If I gotta talk to you about whatever multiple times, on the third time, I'm kind of hot about
it. Yeah, it's
bro.
A punishment.
I'm kinda
I think
hot.
That's how my kids have kind of navigated. Because, you know, I used to be a spanker. Mm-hmm. Or you, I don't know if you know. I used to be a
student. I remember you saying that you don't do that no more. Yeah.
And you know, a certain incident stopped me from spanking.
Okay.
And all the time, like as the reaction.
Yeah.
And that's just because it's how I was raised. Right. Everything was a physical punishment. There really wasn't a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you got beat.
Yeah.
And then you got beat and grounded.
Yeah.
You know, go think about what you did. Like, I don't, okay, I'm thinking about it, but what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't a bad kid. I didn't, like, I literally wasn't a bad kid.
Yeah.
I just was inquisitive and asked a lot of questions and I talked a lot. And I said a lot of shit I probably shouldn't have said. But that's just because I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? And I hung around adults all the time. So my kids are kind of similar. They don't get into things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily do bad things because mm-hmm. Xander doesn't even really like going out with his friends for long periods of time
mm-hmm.
to even get in those situations. Like, he's been in one situation back in middle school where he was driving with the kid. The kid was driving. The mom said he could drive and he rode with the kid. And they were both, 14? And I was like, bro, what? And when I found Aiden, of course, spilled the beans because he didn't tell me.
Right.
And I had to calm down because my first response was always to yell. Yell, fuss, spank, and maybe a lesson. And so I slowed down and I started doing more. And then I replaced spankings with, like, working out.
Okay.
And so it's like, oh, you did what? Go squat on the wall. He had to do wall squats, or he had to get a phone book and hold it over his head until he was like snotty crying. You drop the phone book and your arms drop below this. Go back up. Like, and he still was weak. Like, yo, obviously it wasn't working. But that's a whole other conversation because he's weightlifting now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mom, I didn't know I was so weak. Look, I have muscles now.
No, I'm so weak. I could have told you that, little homie.
I told him that. Like, yo,
Junior, we you were
14 years was about that, but anyway, and then I realized I'm giving him a negative, like it was working, but it kind of wasn't, because then I was giving him a negative idea of
working out. Yeah,
and I was like, now he's gonna either be real skinny or he's gonna get fat and not gonna want to work out, like I'm causing a complex,
right?
So it forced me to calm down. Because I was still doing it out of anger.
Mm.
So it forced me to calm down, think about it, and actually talk it out with him. And so, like, we have these long conversations, and, like, I get feedback. There ain't no, first of all, I don't know is not an answer.
Right.
None of that stuff. Like, we about to talk about this, and I'm going to talk, and you going to talk. You going to tell me exactly what you were thinking, what was going through your little mind at the time that made you think that this was okay, so that I can let you know that this is why what you did isn't okay, and this is how you should do it in the future. Actually, you tell me how you think you should do it in the future after I tell you why it's not okay. And so we go through those things, and it's rare that Xander does this. That's a goddamn lie. Let me not lie on myself. But the biggest thing that Xander does is just kind of following directions when I say Xander, or listening, his listening skills. But I'm like, Xander, take the... And this is so minor. This isn't anything big. But I'm like, listening skills are important later in life.
They are, yeah.
You know, like, Xander, take the chicken out. But I'm specific about it. Like, Xander, take the bag that says boneless chicken thighs out.
Yes.
I come back and he took the lamb quarters out. And I'm like, oh, you cooking this now? Because that's not what I wanted. You about to cook dinner. And so,
that's,
and he's like,
not
but you
what
said,
I wanted.
But you said
cooking
the chicken. And no, I specifically said the boneless.
Yes.
So, like, his listening skills, or if I say, Xander, do this, and then he doesn't do anything. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know for a fact I tell you do something.
Yeah, he was like,
you do nothing?
He was like, oh, you did. I forgot. It's like, oh, no Xbox. That's it. Because you were on the Xbox. That's
And Caleb is 10.
Yeah.
And Caleb, those are conversations I have with Caleb.
Yep.
Caleb.
It's not the bad stuff.
No, it's not. It's
those
not. Because Caleb, a lot of times when I call him, he's doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go, yes, or whatever he responds.
Yes.
And he'll look. But then he's still, like, trying to do whatever he's doing. And I'd be like, no, Caleb, look at my face, bro. He said, and he'll go, yes. I said, okay. I'm about to, and I see, and it's probably even more detailed with Caleb than Xander. I have to go, Caleb.
I've seen it.
I'm about to tell you to do three things. I can't just say the three things. I gotta say, I'm about to tell you to do three things. How many things am I about to tell you I'm gonna do?
Okay, and Dora.
I have to.
Exactly. How many things are you gonna you have to do?
Yes, because I need you to know that you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm three.
So when you, he cannot say, "Oh, I didn't know."
Yes, because we went over this, Caleb. I need you to.
I should start doing that to Xander.
I need you to unload the dishwasher. Okay. And then after you unload the dishwasher, before, maybe months ago, unloading and loading the dishwasher would be two different things. Unload and load. That's two.
Yes.
And then the third thing is, I need you to go find your clothes for tomorrow.
Right.
Now, I'm like, first of all, I say, Caleb, from now on, always know that loading and unloading is one thing.
Yeah.
If you unload, you need to load.
Yeah.
Don't ever load without unloading. So I'll say this thing three different ways.
Yes.
So you can hear it from back and forth.
That's the thing, though. They don't know what they don't know. Like, I get so upset when I see, like, my friends shaming their kids for these things. I was like, yo, they literally don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I slow down to say it. But listen, you know to listen to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to teach you that. You've known that since day one.
Exactly.
So I need you to listen to me. So I say all of that and then say, now repeat what I just said.
I got to start doing that to them.
And then he'll go, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Right. And so I'm always repetition, and I'm always trying to reinforce, because Caleb is the one that he will. Okay, I'll be like, Caleb, what you doing?
He's so inside himself sometimes.
All the time.
Well,
Caleb is in, always in Caleb world.
That's
another thing that I have to, I say, Caleb, we don't live in Caleb world.
Yeah.
We don't live in Minecraft.
Yeah.
We don't live in nothing. We live in the world.
Yeah.
There's people around
that's
you.
Yeah.
And there's things around you. So pay attention to what's around you, because you ain't the only person in this place.
Exactly.
You know, so that is the part that I don't necessarily, I was going to say I don't get upset. That would have been a lie. I do get upset. But as much as I can, I try to, if it's about teaching him how to do something, like they're not good at cleaning their bathroom, but I mean, he's only had a bathroom for, 10 years, and not even 10 years, three of those, I don't know how long it took him to learn to potty train, but and then you didn't even clean it that amount of time.
Exactly.
You only been cleaning it for two of the years.
Like cleaning, kids just don't clean good. Like with Aiden and her chores, Aiden's been on this new thing. Oh, she's actually been making me angry. So
okay, what?
Xander has the majority of the chores between them.
Okay.
And that's just because he's older and he's been doing chores longer. And he has the same, Aiden has the same amount of chores that he had at that age. And yesterday, I realized it's time for Aiden to get some more goddamn chores. So she's in her room. And Xander asked her to do something. Like one of her chores is to unload the dishwasher.
Right.
And put the dishes up. The dishes that she doesn't touch, she doesn't put up the knives just because she can't reach the knife thing.
Yeah.
But then she's so, I don't trust her with knives like that.
Yeah, she could, how you stab your calf muscle?
Thank you. Aiden. Because that's me.
What happened?
Yes, between all of that, that got the knife from in front of you to the back of your calf, going up. That's Aiden.
Like, what?
Yes. So she doesn't touch the knives, and she doesn't put the glass dishes up high because we don't have a step stool.
Yeah.
And even if we did, I don't trust her doing that, because everything would fall out of the cabinet.
You can't even hold your plate.
Right. Like
walking to the kitchen.
Thank you. You still spill food off your plate. Gosh, that's why you eat out of a bowl.
That's why you eat out of a bowl. On newspaper. On the floor.
Thank you.
That's why you eat down there.
With a blanket, a towel underneath it. Exactly. But yeah, so she's on her tablet watching YouTube, and Xander tells her to go and he's like, go unload the dishwasher, Aiden, so I can put these dishes in. And then And he was like, and you didn't fold your clothes up like mom told you to. And she was like, not realizing that I can hear them. Xander, you're just telling me to do too much. He was like, girl, he said, you better go do your chores. Like, the way he talks to her is hilarious. Everybody says it. Like, he talks to her, like, almost per, like as a parent.
Yeah.
And she usually respects his authority, but, you know, right, she's at that age.
Yeah, she getting older, like, I don't like you.
And so I'm, yeah, and I'm listening. And I was like, I knew this man has to do just say that to him. I was like, hey, get in here. I was like, if you don't get your Lanero behind in there and do your chores. I said, that's cool. You got more. You thought that was a lot of chores. You got more chores coming. And as a matter of fact, on top of what he just told you to do, go sweep my floors, the entire house. Bam. Because you didn't do it yesterday, and there's dog hair everywhere. So it's, and she was like, she looked like she was about to go. And I said, you bet not.
I said, try.
I said, girl, try it if you want to. Like, I don't even have to raise my voice to her. Try it if you want to. Try me.
Oh, jeez.
I'm at a point now where I'm not in this whole cancel culture anymore. Like, you know, our culture is all about canceling somebody if they missed it. Like, I'm not going to do that, you know, because that's not allowing people to grow, you know. And so I think that's what's gotten me away from clapping back so much as well, because I can disagree with you. We can talk it out. If you want to learn, then I can help you learn. If I want to learn, if I feel like I can learn from you, like, we can have a mutual relationship where we're growing together, and we're not pulling each other's energy, asking each other to do all the emotional labor. You tell me how you feel. I can take that and go look it up myself. I tell you how I feel. You can go look it up. If you have questions, you can come to me.
Yeah.
If I have questions, I can come to you. And that's kind of how I've been operating recently with men.
Yeah.
Which has definitely helped my relationship with, you know, like, the guy friends in my life, and with white women. Yeah. That's especially because y'all be on my neck, boy, with the way that I am with white women.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just from my experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now it works because I can talk to them and I can tolerate the differences. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if I've been saying, we can always find fault in everything if we look hard enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I just don't even care enough to look.
Yeah.
But if you bring it to me, I'm going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
We're not going to argue about it. So that's been my win for the month.
Yeah, I think that's a big win, because I have, even in the short time that you've been here in Texas, just kind of paying attention to your, you know, thoughts and views.
Yeah.
Especially towards, or I'll say in particular, towards white women, because the industry that you're in and building, there's a lot of white, you know, women photographers. And I remember a lot of the things that you would talk about, you know, going through, and to hear you, you know, have this thought change as far as, not canceling people because of da 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 da. It is, on one hand, it's like, oh, really? Ann said that?
But then on the other hand, it's like,
oh wow, that's really dope, because ever since I met you, you've always been a person who was actively trying to grow.
Yeah.
Actively, what do I need to grow in? What areas do I need to grow? Have I been thinking about this in a way that I shouldn't have? And is there a better way to think about this?
Right.
And, oh, I never thought about it like that before. And da-da, like, you've always been that way. So, and I think just to, you know, kind of mirror that with our culture now and our society, I think that idea is very important and very needed, because it's so racially charged right now. And for somebody to actively say, you know what, let me pause, let me listen, let me think, and let me allow you to grow, and let me talk to you and learn exactly. from you, and hopefully you can learn from me, and then see where we go from there. Yep. That's huge, you know. So that's definitely a dope. You know, that's a big win.
I feel like, and I got to that point, like I said, because I'm teaching, like they always, the white women in my community, photography community more specifically, always come to me and ask me questions about race and about communication mm-hmm. and things like that. And diversity and inclusion are, I say this every time I talk about it, they're huge buzzwords within my community.
Yeah.
Because white people are realizing now, oh my gosh, like, people of color spend money. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah, we do. We black people specifically are like one of the largest consumers, you know? And they're realizing that even though, you know, this has been education for years and years and years and years, they're really starting to realize it.
Yeah.
And so they ask me all these questions and they're like, well, how do I even attract these clients? And my whole thing is you have to start at home first. Like, you can't just go out and put out a model call for black people or put out a model call for Asian people, because they're not going to come to you and they're going to be offended.
Yeah, yeah.
You start by expanding your personal circle and by listening.
Yeah.
And I had to realize I'm telling these people that, but I'm not listening, mm-hmm. you know, I'm telling them about their personal biases, but I'm not confronting my personal biases.
Wow.
And so when
that's,
I talk
that's
to them,
so big,
I
it's
know.
So big of you, because
know,
it's so
right?
easy to
it's
be
simple.
Self-absorbed
yes.
and be like, this is how I feel.
Yes.
Like I remember one time before I got this job, I was substituting. It was a high school class and it was something related to social studies or history or something. And they were talking about, they had a test about this culture or you know, whatever they were, you know, studying and learning on. And some of the girls in there were like, oh, we don't want to do this. And one of the girls was like, I don't care about this. Like, oh, they don't care about, you know, our culture. So I'm not finna learn. I said, well, if you want them to care about your culture and understand it and know about it, don't you think you should take the time to learn about another culture that you don't know about?
Exactly.
And then one of the kids was like, ooh. He said, you should be our teacher. But then because it's easy, it's so easy to think or have an opinion about all these external things
Absolutely.
Outside of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And then be like, okay, so now what does that mean for you? Turn it around.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you?
Right.
Are you operating the way you want people to operate
exactly.
towards you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I learned with that, because when I first started to think about that, because like I said, I talk about bias and I talk about confronting your own personal biases.
Yeah.
And so I had to realize, I talked to one of my friends, she's Indian, and she does a lot of stuff within the community. She's a photographer
mm-hmm.
as well. And she's actually now the first woman of color ambassador for one of the like major camera brands.
Nice.
And you know, we talk about the same, like they have the same types of colorism and things within
mm-hmm.
their community
yeah.
that we have in ours. And we were just talking about our own biases within our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me to thinking about my bias against like other cultures
mm-hmm.
and more specifically the white women that
mm-hmm.
come to me and ask me questions.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh my gosh, how are black people going to see me? Like, I'm saying we have bias as well. And they're going to be like, that's not fair that you're comparing the two and putting them on the same scale. And then I had to realize I'm a Libra. I'm all about scales and balance. But no, for real, I had to like really dive deeper into my thinking and realize that I can talk about my personal biases towards white people, but I can also explain that the scales are not balanced.
Yeah.
Right? Like when I am, my bias is a reaction to your action, or not necessarily even your action. Like my reaction is my feelings are a reaction to society's action towards me
mm-hmm.
that you get to benefit from. So while my personal bias may be wrong, my personal bias is not systemically hurting you. or my personal bias is not, it's something that you get to ignore.
Yeah.
Your bias is not something that I get to ignore, you know? And so I talk about it from that standpoint. And I feel like it, you know, like it makes sense to them.
Yeah.
And so I kind of talked about that yesterday in the podcast.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa, I didn't even think about it that way. And these are women who feel like they're pretty forward thinking.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I'm inclusive. I'm an intersectional feminist. And I'm like, okay, but as an ally, because for me as an ally to the queer community, like I don't even call myself an ally. I like to call myself an accomplice, because an ally comes in and they sometimes take the lead over things. And so I was telling them as an ally to Black people, as a white woman who calls herself an intersectional feminist, when Black women are speaking, you know, a lot of times you guys, if your peers aren't hearing us, then you come in and say the exact same things that we said. And they're like, oh my gosh, I get it now. You know, and now you become the creator of this idea. And then you don't go back and say, well, this is what this person said.
Yeah.
You become the creator of this idea, as opposed to an accomplice who comes in and, you know, like backs up my word. Well, Tony said this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's just really been clicking and it's been working for me, but it's really been making me grow too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's uncomfortable, but I tell them like, it makes me uncomfortable, but you're not growing if you're comfortable.
Yeah. That's not a thing that happens.
Like, yeah. You know, it doesn't happen at all.
Comfortability and growth don't occupy the same space.
No, they can't.
You know, so,
yeah.
No, that's really big. I haven't had, you know, such mental or monumental mental, that's funny that mental,
yeah,
is monumental, but I haven't had those those crazy, you know, wins. My wins have just been about, you know what, I had a,
yeah, I was gonna say, don't minimize
so
your wins,
Sid,
like that.
So Sid, help me Sid, Sydney came in, what, the beginning, sometime during this month.
And he's in New York.
California,
Los Angeles. Who's in New York?
I have a friend. His name is Leonard.
Oh, okay.
But
Sid is in California.
Yeah, yeah. Leonard is another comedian out there. His TV show is starting soon.
Nice.
So anyway,
yeah
Sid came and we had a meeting, a development meeting about my TV project. He's working on with me.
Yes.
got a lot of good headway, and he's starting a job with Netflix soon.
Awesome.
And he was like, all right, we can I want to start working on a pilot now.
Yeah.
So that's
your show.
Right. So that's awesome. A big win to be able to get,
yes,
to that next phase.
Heck yeah.
As far as, you know, having a script. And you know what, the win for me as far as that also is, I really felt like we were working like together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that anytime I talked to him about it, we were working together, but because he has the experience and he's been there,
yeah,
a lot of times it would feel like
he was leading. And
he was, or maybe not leading, but maybe if I present an idea to him, he has the power to either progress it or shut it down. Like, I don't like this, do this.
Yeah.
I don't like this, do this. How about not this and now try this?
Which becomes his thing and not really yours.
Right. And at the beginning, if something like that happened, I never took it that way. Now, the first thing is, he never did that.
Right.
He never said, no, don't do this, do this.
Yeah.
He was always gracious in that way. And he's always, you know, trying to let me know, bro, this is not my idea.
Yeah.
I just want to help you get this off the ground and work on this with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to take this.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything coming from him, but because the experience gap is so big to me in my mind, it was like that for me.
Isn't that amazing how we see things so
differently? I just took it like, well, you've been there 16 years.
Yeah.
And I was only there a year and a half.
Yeah.
And you got all the experience writing, and this is my first crack at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what would happen. And we came home, I mean, when he came here and we worked and had our meeting, it felt like, yo, we collabing.
Yeah.
And we are working and we are doing this. And again, he's always been gracious. But
it changed in your mind.
Yeah, I was like, yo, we are working. And his graciousness did that for me, made me go like, he does a very good job to make you feel like this is yours and I want to help you. And I was like, yo, it was so fun. I told him, I said, bro, this was so fun. Like, this gave me a glimpse of the future.
What it could be like.
About what it will, you know, be like. Right. With us working and me really doing this, you know. So I was like, I appreciate you, you know, helping me with all of this.
Yeah.
You know, so, that was a big, you know, win. Again, for us to get it to that next level was a big win. Me deciding and even starting to record my other podcast was a big win. I'm super excited about that podcast. Every time I record another episode, I'm like, yo, this is so much fun.
Yes.
And I feel like people are really going to be entertained by this and really get something out of this. You know, so that was big. You know, even us, you and I, talking about working with each other.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, lend ourselves to each other's projects. That was a huge, you know, win, you know, for me. So those things, and me being even consistent with this podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
It's been exciting.
Yeah.
You know, with everything else, especially looking at the calendar, like y'all been pretty full and, you know, it's been a good, you know, month.
That's fantastic.
It's been a good month.
I think I'm in that space as well because I left the conference in mid-September and I came back and hit the ground running. First of all, going to the conference really made me realize people watch me.
Okay.
It made me realize
that can be kind of weird.
People are looking.
Yeah.
But see, I put myself out there. In a way, like I kind of carry my, I didn't realize it until recently, but I kind of carry myself like I'm the authority on, I don't want to say like a section in photography, but yeah, I kind of do, like with boudoir.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know I'm not the best, I know I'm not the most booked because lately I haven't been actively trying to book, especially since I'm starting my business back this year.
Right.
But I've been shooting for so long that I know what I'm doing, you know? And then I'm so confident in my opinions and in my views that people just kind of look to that, you know? Like, which I knew people were watching outside of the photography industry because I get people who message me, because, you know, I'm really big on social media, really active on Facebook. And I'm trying to, like, move that over to Instagram and Twitter. And actually make it profitable. I'm not trying to make me money.
Yeah.
But, you know, people message me all the time or text me and they're like, you are so inspirational because you're so unapologetic in everything that you do and say. Like, you stand by what you say and you mean it. And if you're wrong, then you come back and admit that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And like, you're trying to, or kind of like what you said, like people notice that.
Yeah.
And so that was something that I had been conflicted with earlier in the year, like trying to stay true to myself and like how much of myself do I share with social media?
Yeah,
because I definitely have this entire private life that people don't know about on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I say all that to say I get to the conference and I realize that people notice me. And, you know, and they were like, you're so inspiring. You do this and you do that. And I was like, I can be successful like in this platform because I have a voice that people appreciate, you know? And so that was a win. I went there and noticed that. And then I just came back and hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I completely changed my website. I mean, it's the same format, but it's so much better. I had some people look at it and kind of test it out and proofread it and make sure everything was going smoothly. So that's good. I'm starting a podcast myself with one of my photographer friends. It's going to be called Tea Time with Tasha Tony. but, you know, just we're going to be talking about being single moms and business owners in the photography industry and Black women and navigating all of those things, navigating dating and work and balancing all of that and kids and friends and, you know, money, all of those things. So that's a personal win. And yo, like I'm about to start doing like lifestyle branding for artists and creatives and all the other stuff. You know, I put out a like I put it out there mm-hmm. for people to know, and I've gotten a really good response from it. And so I've had a lot of wins that made me realize I can do this full time.
Yeah.
And side note, that's a conversation that I want us to have. Like okay. working, being creatives yeah. and working, like to work or not to work.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you balance that? Or in our minds, how do we measure up to our own expectations? Like mm-hmm. when do you have to get a job as opposed to continuing to strive towards your dream?
You know? I talked about it a little bit today too. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think that's so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult for us as artists because we just want to do our art.
Yeah.
And it's so hard working for other people. Like when you get to a certain point in your life and in your artistry, it's like working for someone else is so suffocating. But then you get to this point in your artistry where you feel like you should be in this place. And so then you start worrying about what other people think. Like, well, mm-hmm. I'm not doing this full time. You know, they probably think I'm a fraud.
Yeah.
Get your money how you need to get your money.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you got to, it's the your goal and your vision and your dream needs to be funded. So
exactly.
If there's no money, then you can't even do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's been really interesting realizing that for me, I can fund my dream without having to go through someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was talking to a guy. He's an entrepreneur. He just recently made his first million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super fantastic guy. And he was just telling me women don't think like men. Like women think small. You know, like women entrepreneurs a lot of times
mm-hmm.
just want to do well.
Yeah.
Whereas men want to do better than everybody.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
men want to make all the money. Women just want to make enough money to live comfortably.
I just want to be comfortable.
Exactly. Yes. And And that just made me think like, no, I want to win.
Yeah.
I don't want to be better than everybody. I want to get to a place where I can reach back and pull up people with me.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to get to a place where I'm, you know, teaching at all these different places and I can be like, hey, this person is teaching, like this person knows about this, that person knows about that. They need to be with me. And they trust me enough to say, okay, I trust you. Yeah. I trust them. They're going to be on this platform too. Like I want us all to win.
Yeah.
So that's where I want to be. And I want to be able to make enough money to fund my dream
mm-hmm.
to live comfortably and to do whatever the fuck I really want to do and not have to work for anybody else. Because basically I work for all of these small businesses where I know the CEO personally.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say personally, I mean, I see them every day and I hear them talk about their dreams and I'm like, yo, I'm doing all this hard work for your dream and I can't even do the same hard work for my dream because I'm doing it for yours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a big. That's big.
Yeah.
It's a very cool place to be at mentally because then it's like it's like when you like on a video game. There are some games that you start the game and you only get access to a certain part of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do whatever you need to do, the other part of the map unlocks. You go, whoa, what's over there? What's over? That's what it's like. So that's pretty.
Yeah, that's where I am.
That's pretty dope. That's what's up. Last 30. So what? Just so people know. My guest today was photographer Toni Black. She does lifestyle photography, branding, as well as intimate lifestyle portraits. For more information, go to thetoniblack.com. 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 This has been Last 30. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and give us a great review. For extra audio of this podcast, go to reallydopepodcast.com.